You're welcome to remain standing for the reading of the gospel that we hear this morning from Matthew's gospel, chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Hear these words. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it is you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. You may be seated. Barb, sorry, your reading was so wonderful and we heard it well up front, but sorry to everyone else that the soundboard is going well, and so thanks, Mark, for what you do, but there must be a connection issue up front here. So I'll speak through this mic this morning. Will you join me in prayer? Through the storms of life, O God, you are with your people in the person of Jesus, your Son. Calm our fears and strengthen our faith that we may never doubt his presence among us, but proclaim that he is your Son, risen from the dead, living forever and ever. Amen. Hearing this story in the gospel lesson this morning is certain to drum up images of being on the water. And I am curious if you've had a moment where you have been on the water as the waves and the wind escalated and came crashing in. One memory that really sticks out to me is up at Lake of the Woods, and we were camping in Warroad right alongside at this campground right alongside the lake. Has all these docks and a landing where the boats could come in and go out or be tied up. And at a young age, I would watch as the boats would come in and out, and we had been out fishing, but on this one day in particular, the wind picked up almost out of nowhere. And as the boats came in trying to beat, you could see the clouds continue to build in the distance, and as the wind continued to increase and the boats would come in, there was one probably 14-foot alumacraft with an outboard motor with a couple in there getting tossed about as this small boat was trying to make it in to shore. And as a young child, I remember watching my parents and my grandparents running towards the water to help them towards the dock area and the landing, but this boat continued to try fight, and I could see their faces. I know it was a distance away, maybe 50 yards, but enough for me to see the expression of fear that was on their face, and almost, like I could see from right there, what's implanted in my mind is the whites of their eyes being wide open. Everything that was taking place was engulfing them as they tried to make it toward shore, and not just to get toward shore, but to a dock as they get blown up around. The chaos in those waters are disorientating and vulnerable. Realizing how little control that one might have, as they certainly had, as they are in the water. And if you've been in a position like this or can imagine a moment like this, all the attention as you're in the boat is geared towards preservation. How can I get through this? And our mind is kind of left with everything else off in the distance. A cultural and popular understanding at the time of Jesus that Matthew grabbed onto as he is retelling this story was that the sea represented all that opposed God. It represented the unknown. It represented chaos, death, and pain. As listeners of this story and first hearers would hear this story and they hear the waves crashing in on this boat, all the memories that they have of their childhood, of how they've been brought up to think of the water, would come flooding back. The stories of the Leviathan, the sea creature that was out there somewhere in the abyss, not knowing where it was, but it was always lurking underneath. Was it going to be coming for you? That would flood their minds. Or the story of Jonah, as they would hear this story of the chaos in the waters, and as Jonah is cast overboard and is going down, 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 deeper into the water, and as the story of Jonah shares, entangled by weeds as they grab into Jonah as well, that chaos surrounding Jonah and that story coming flooding back. In some places, in this time, they would even hold rituals which were scripted similar to funerals, funeral stories and funeral liturgies in case those that went out to sea did not come back. Those ready to go out on long distances, they would hold these rituals in case they did not come back. And if they did come back, it is as if they came back from the dead. The idea of the sea continued to hold this image and the story within the people at this time of something of utter chaos and death. Jesus had recently tried to get a little bit of alone time. A lot has been taking place. He needed a few minutes of rest, of renewal, an opportunity to spend time in prayer. And that didn't happen right as we heard last week in the gospel lesson. As the crowds continued to press in on him, and Jesus stood alongside, continued to teach them as the thousands pressed in. And Jesus leaned over to the disciples and said, "Get them some food." Where are we going to get enough food for all these people? Well, here's a boy with a couple loaves and some fish. And the multitudes are fed. And Jesus, once again, is tired and wants to have some time in prayer and renewal. And so what does he do? He sends off the disciples in your boat. I want to get an image of what that might look like. It's kind of like Jesus is the last one to climb in and he surprises them and just pushes it out. "I just needed my time. I got you in there. See ya." And he goes up on a mountain and prays. And in that time, the boat is now a considerable distance from shore. The wind picks up. Fear encapsulates the disciples. The imagery that Matthew is providing as he writes this gospel story parallels the story of the church after Jesus' ascension. The story within itself has value, but holding up alongside, as Matthew writes this, it also holds value as we hold the story parallel alongside our lives. Matthew is keen on telling this story in a way that clues us in that we too are often in our own boat, feeling like we are being tossed around by the sea. And in this image, the disciples in the boat, which can be a metaphor for the church, in a place that feels chaotic, vulnerable, tossed about, where it feels like the wind is against them, and where the physical presence of Jesus is not there. Being sent out, as we are a people being sent out into a world that often feels at times chaotic. And if things couldn't get any worse, they see a ghost. Something that is holding place upon the water amidst all the chaos. It is unstirred, unmoved, off in the distance. Let's pause here for a moment with the story this far as Matthew shares this gospel lesson. Have you felt this before? That being a person of faith, in a church with a community around you, you can still feel we are being tossed by the waves of everything that swirls around us. We're doing the best that we can to be in control, to be upright, to find some sense of being moored to something solid. But yet chaos swirls all about, and we find ourselves almost like we are in a wash tub, tossed around and trying to figure which way is up. If we're honest, we have felt this at some point if we do not feel it right now. And as fear is stoked in this story, as fear is stoked in our own lives, we begin to lose track of what we are supposed to be fixed upon and what we have learned as Jesus has taught in his own life. The disciples were just with Jesus as the multitudes were fed with a few loaves and fish. People are in awe. Thousands of people are gathering in awe of this one that is teaching them something that they so longed to hear. And just a few minutes later, they kind of forget of the one that has created all things, the one that has set order, the one that has more than enough. They kind of lose track of him. And they start being surrounded by those fears. We're familiar with that. I truly believe it. We're constantly surrounded by things that kind of speak into our lives. It doesn't take too long for us to listen to whatever is being shared within our political circles, for us to be hearing things and be wanting to focus on maybe a different side or a different view, and we start to lose track of something. We start to be overcome by the fears that surround us with the increased amount of anger that encapsulates fear in a way where violence and weapons are used. I mean, we can't go a day without hearing of something within our world, within our country, of some weapons being used in a fashion that really is acted out of fear. I'm a part of, in our Covenant Church, over this last year, I've been a part of this cohort of pastors for anti-racism and discipleship program, and we get to hear the stories of those of people of color that continue to have this prejudice geared towards them, and how the story of our communities continue to not embrace people because it's out of fear. And I hear these stories, and I just wonder to the chaos that continues to swirl around and grab our attention and get our eyes focused apart from what it needs to be focused upon. Where are you this morning with the stories of fear or chaos as they swirl around? As the disciples see this ghost off in the distance, they cry out in fear, and a voice immediately from the distance calls back, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." They know that voice. They've heard that voice before. They've walked with that voice. That is not a ghost. That is Jesus Christ walking on the water amidst all the chaos, is present amidst everything, and it has not consumed him at all. And they recognize that even amidst the chaos, Jesus is there. Even alongside their greatest fears, Jesus is there. Before our family moved to Duluth, 9 years ago, oh my goodness. Before we moved to Duluth, we spent a couple months in southern Baja, on the tip of the Baja in Mexico. Natalie had an opportunity to do some work there, and the kids and I had an opportunity to eat chips and salsa all day long. One day, Ezra and I and my parents had the opportunity to go fishing for marlin, something we could have never asked for, was given to us, out on the ocean. And I will say that Ezra was the only one to catch anything. He caught a mako shark that was, what, this big? And halfway through the day, I started to experience, maybe you've been familiar with this, a sense of unease within my own body as we were being tossed about by waves and through the swells as the boat would go up and down and waves rocked the boat like this. And my stomach started to do the exact same thing. And I went down to the cabin and sat at a table only to have the feeling increase. And I remembered the words that my grandpa gave to me when we would be out fishing on Lake of the Woods. Fix your eyes out on the distance, out on the horizon. Fix on that line, because your mind will start to tell you that it is not any other thing than just the waves moving you about, and you have something solid to fix your eyes on. Keep your eyes fixed on the horizon. As Peter in the story moves from fear to faith, having just cried out of great fear and terror, hearing Jesus speak back, fixing his eyes on Jesus, he calls out, "If it is you, Lord, command me to come to you on the water." I'd like to stay in the boat. That's me. And Jesus just simply says, "Come." Jesus invites, and Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water toward Jesus. The thing is that as he walks on the water, the chaos does not end. The waves still crash in. The wind picks up and swirls around him. All of that continues. And Peter is fine until he gets caught by taking his eyes off. And he soon finds that he's slipping from his feet to his ankles to his knees. And once again is overcome with the chaos that swirls around him. And he begins to sink and he yells out, "Lord, save me." Now, of course, part of what the lesson is that we need to hold in this gospel story is the truth that we need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. The world still has things that swirl around. There's still something that moves about that tries to take our attention off of the one that continues to give us a guiding light, the one that keeps us elevated above the waters, even amidst the terror and the chaos. But we know that. There's also a lesson that even amidst the wind and chaos, fear and faith, there's a lesson for us to hear in this story. That Jesus is present and saving through it all. Even when we think that Christ is not near us, even when we think that we are out on this boat by ourselves, tossed around, Jesus is there. And that's the good news of the gospel. The reminder that amidst the swirl of life, for us to be a church that is present within this world, and we're going to continue to have times where we are tossed about. And at times we feel like we can't even see where Christ is. We can't even see Jesus, and we take our eyes and move them around. That even amidst that, Jesus is present to the point where we are starting to sink down. We call those words, "Lord, save me." And the hand grabs your hand, lifts you back up, walks you over to the boat, and as they climb in, the sea goes calm, the wind dies down. The one that is in control of all continues to hold you. And while we do hear Jesus say, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" I always had grown up as almost as hearing that as, "Shame on you, why would you ever doubt?" But I wonder in this story, we hear instead the compassion and teachable moment that Jesus provides. "Peter, why would you doubt? Why? Don't you remember that I will never leave you or forsake you? Don't you know that I'm always going to be here for you, amidst your fear, amidst your faith, I'm always present. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to be afraid. For you know that even the smallest, your faith, which can be as small as a mustard seed, can grow into something great. Our lives are filled with moments where we are just captivated by fear, and we just kind of slowly remind ourselves that we live into this great story of the God that always tends us. And our faith builds. But then life happens. And we kind of slide back into this spot where we get, oh, but what if? All along on this trajectory of where we are, continuing to move from fear to faith and maybe sliding back into space of being a little bit afraid and fear, and then but Jesus pulling us back. All along that story and that trajectory, Jesus is there walking with you amidst the chaos. One of the great teachers within the church, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, whose testimony is all the more compelling because of the real risks he took in faith, summarizes this interpretation in a well-known passage from The Cost of Discipleship as he reflects upon this story of Peter and Jesus on the water. He says, Peter had to leave the ship and risk his life on the sea in order to learn both his own weakness. How important is that? To learn our own weakness. We need to do that. To learn his own weakness and the almighty power of the Lord. If Peter had not taken the risk, he would have never learned the meaning of faith. I think those are powerful words, to kind of remember who we are, to remember the power of the one that continues to reach down and grab us when we need it most. And we're reminded in this passage of all who call on the Lord will be saved. Jesus, help me. These words go back to Joel, the prophet Joel, which were borrowed again by Peter as on the day of Pentecost as he preaches to all of these people. He borrows those words from Joel. All who call on the Lord will be saved. Paul recites it today as well as we hear in Romans 10. All who call on the Lord will be saved because Jesus is right here with you amidst whatever your life holds. That hand is being extended, and the grip of grace is pulling you towards him. Amen.